Good to have Brother Reed Cooper with us, a friend, a good man of God, and I appreciate the Lord letting him be with us this morning. Brother Reed, if you come, we'll let him come preach to us at this time. Get in with the preaching. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We got every gimmick and game and gadget and concert and anything going on in the name of God in these days besides just God-sent preaching. I know this is a lot of work. God said it would. You pray for the preacher this morning.
Good to be here. Good to see you. Back in Salisbury again. I don't get too far from home. It's good to be a long ways from home. It's not too far down here. But enjoyed the trip down. Traffic is a little light. Unusually light for weekend. My wife and myself couldn't believe how fewer traffic there was on 40. Normally you can't get through, but this morning, the Lord had fixed it so that we had a good, safe trip down. And last Sunday morning, we started over Lenore and got in the traffic jam and been a little wreck. And we didn't know if we was going to get there or not, but we did. And then Sunday night on the way back, there was another one. Buddy, that one really was backed up. So I told Brother Joel when he called on that, you better be ready. Because I don't know what I'll run into when I get out on the road. I thank you, brother. But the Lord takes care of us. And I told somebody the other day, I think I've worked him overtime and taken care of me. I still paint, climb ladders. I'm like the old eagle. I was born high and I live high. I hope I don't die high as far as off that ladder. But, you know, I've been painting with oil-based paint this week, and it's got my throat kindly in a touchy way, so I may need a sip of water. You'll pardon me for that. It'll be all right. We'll get on with what the Lord's laid on our heart. I appreciate Brother Joel inviting us to come and be in your midst today. It's always good to be somewhere preaching. The Lord's used us a good bit this year, and we appreciate it. We've had a couple of good meetings. I appreciate that. And it's always good to know the Lord's still working.
Amen.
He's not going out of business. And he won't be out of business in the morning.
Amen.
He'll still be God when Monday comes around. And he never has changed. We're the ones that's changed. He hasn't. And as far as I can read and tell, he's not made any plans to change. He's just going to stay God. I don't know much about these professional singers. Not many of them I kind of click with. But I was listening to the McCamish sing one time. And one of the ladies paused and said, I just want to thank God for being God. And I've thought about that a whole lot. Just thank God for just being God. That's what he is. He's God. And he's always been God. And he will always be God. Somebody said, wonder why did he say to Abraham, I am the Lord God Almighty? Because he is the Lord God Almighty. None like him, none equal to him. None can surpass him, none ever will. And he's God. I appreciate that. And you'll be turning in your scripture this morning. We'll cut our remarks kind of short and get right in the message. He didn't tell me how long I had to say this, so I guess my wife laughed the other week. We were over at Lenore and Brother James Lockey was preaching, and he said, now, to you young preachers, he said, about 20 minutes is the listening span of most people. So if you go beyond 20 minutes and you've lost them. And then I don't know what prompted him to say what it is, but he said, Brother Cooper back there is old enough, he already knows that. And my wife kindly grinned, and I knew what she was thinking. And she said later, he don't know Reed Cooper, said he preaches till he gets done. But sometimes that's 5 minutes, And I never have been 5 hours yet. If we do today, we'll make record, all right? There's past scripture on our heart in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Simple scripture today and yet profound to our hearts. I believe I remember the first time I ever met Brother Hayek. I met him in Kentucky, I believe. And preached, and if I remember rightly, I think I preached on the wind in that service. I believe it's the first time I was ever up there. And a feller introduced me that was there also here a while back in his church. And he said, now Brother Cooper preaches on some strange things. So they didn't know how to take me. He had them scared to death before I ever said anything. Didn't know what I was going to come up with. But, and another fellow down in Alabama told me, he said, you ought to leave these deep texts alone. Well, I said, if I do that, I'll have to leave all the Bible alone because it's all deep to me. I mean, none of it is insignificant. Even those conjunction words, and, but, wherefore, I mean, all of them are there for a reason. Or else the scripture in soul that said all scripture. And ain't they a part of the scripture? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Now, this generation's interested in profit. We ought to be interested in the Bible because it is profitable. There's no way you'll go wrong reading the Bible. Might not understand it all, but just read it and believe it all. We'll get there. All right, let's begin reading with verse number 1 in 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you'd like to stand with us this morning, reverence God's Word as we read. I'm going to read several verses, but I'll not try to preach on every verse that I read. We wouldn't get out of here in 5 hours if I did. But to get where I want to go, we'll start with verse 1. Paul said to Timothy, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. And I'm glad he didn't stop there, but he put this next word in. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables, or fiction, make up things. You know, Brother Ronnie Jones, I was listening to him preach some time ago, we was at the same camp meeting together. Brother Ronnie said he'd listening to this man preach, and said, boy, he told a good illustration, a story. But said he didn't finish it. And he said, I said to him after service, I'd like to know the rest of that story. That's interesting. Now listen. And he said, that man said, oh, that's not so. He said, that's something I just made up to interest the people. Well, that's what Paul's talking about here. There'll come a time when they'll use anything.
Right.
Even untruth.
That's right.
To get your ear. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Now the reason I read those was because I want to start here in verse 6 in my message today. And it uses the word for. He said all these things for a reason. And he said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." You may be seated. I want to preach this morning for a little while, if the Lord will help me, on what Paul is saying to Timothy in this final address. At least we call it that. We don't know if he died the same day he spoke these words. Probably not. But at least we look at it as the final charge or words that is spoken unto Timothy. And he looks at it in about three different lights. In verse 6, he talks about his present day standing. His present status in the labor for the Lord and with the Lord. In verse number 7, he talks about his past work. His past days that he has known in the service of the Lord. And then in verse number 8, he talks about the glorious future that he's looking forward to as a result of the finished work that God had given him to do while upon this earth. I guess that no man has ever spoke more truth concerning the future than the Apostle Paul did in his day. Of course, we know, as we've already stated, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So it wasn't something that Paul had sat down and figured out with a computer. Hadn't reached on the shelves and pulled books down and got it through book knowledge. Had not been that he had visited with the soothsayers and the fortune tellers of his day and used what they said to convey these things. By the way, you do understand what that means when you see these fortune tellers operating and they wanting to tell you fortune. That's the only fortune they're interested in is theirs.
Amen. Amen.
All they're going to get out of you or what they get out of you helps them with their earnings, their fortune.
Right.
Yeah, you can forget, go in and listen to them if you want to, but forget what they say. They don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
No man knows except God about tomorrow.
Right.
I can't tell you about tomorrow. I've never lived tomorrow yet.
Right.
That is as far as tomorrow on this earth. I can talk a little bit about yesterday. I did live through it. I don't know all about today. I just know how far I've got already.
Amen.
But this is the day the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
By the way, had the Lord not allowed you to, you would have never saw this day.
Right.
Never awoke this morning.
Amen.
Never would have made it this far.
Right.
In this day that we're worshiping in now.
Amen.
And when Paul talked about the times, back through the first Timothy and other epistles that he had the privilege to pen down. Did you ever stop to notice as you read them how up to date they are?
Yeah.
How they describe our day?
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that a man took pen in hand way back over 2,000 years ago and sat down and told this generation how it is today.
Amen.
I mean, in his day, they preached there'd come a time when there'd be a falling away.
That's right.
We preach today there is falling away. Nay, priest and he rode about in the last days would be perilous times. We preach that today is perilous times. He preached in his day that men had turned their ears away from God and away from the truth. We preach men have turned their ears away from the truth and been turned unto fables. I'm glad I got a God that understands tomorrow just as good as he understood yesterday and does today. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always been what he is. He will always be what he is. In eternity future, God will never be greater than God is right now. In eternity past, he never was any smaller, any less than he is right now. I mean, he's already demonstrated that he's God, and beside him, there is no other. Now, with that in mind, what made Paul so victorious in these hours was that he made the statement earlier, I am what I am by the grace of God. And further he said, in him we live and move and have our being. Some might say, but the ladies mentioned it in the song. Some say God's dead. You're still here, aren't you? In him is life. And if God ever pulls up, life itself will cease to be. For in him is life, and beside him is no life. For I know he's still alive. I know he's still on the throne. I know he's still mindful of planet Earth. Because life is not only still going on, but new life is springing forth all around us. Let's look at the text right quickly. He had mentioned these things to young Timothy, how things would be. He knew he was fixing to step off the stage of action. And that God is pleased to lead Timothy here to continue the work that had been started. So he encouraged him in the work of God and told him the reason why he'd given these strong charges. He said, for I am now ready. His present state of being, his present state of mind, he accepted the fact that time is now passing by. And he said, for I am now ready to be offered. That means he is going to be offered up. Old Nero is going to carry him out under the chop block. He is going to cut his head off. He thought in doing so he had silenced the man of God. In doing so, they thought they'd stamp out this stuff called old-time religion. In doing so, they thought they'd win the victory over this vile fire, they called it, that is going all over the country, and people is getting converted and born into the family of God. They're going to offer up the greatest preacher outside of Christ Jesus, probably. The greatest missionary that had ever walked on planet Earth. And they said, we're going to nip it right at the head of operation. Oh, Paul, it said, I just want to serve notice on you. And as Dr. Bagwell would say, I want to make an announcement to you that I'm now ready. Aren't you glad that's something everybody can do? Everybody can be ready. Oh, I know none of us look forward to ceasing to be on earth physically. That's why we run to the doctor every time we have a toe ache. Yet, testify in the church, I'm ready.
Yeah.
You know, hell, just can't wait to get there.
Yeah.
But in the morning, if you don't sneeze right,
yeah,
call and make an appointment.
Yeah.
You see, that's that instinct to want to live,
right,
that God put within us.
Right.
That comes from God.
Right.
If He had not done that for us, we that read the Bible and understand the glories that's awaiting us on the other side, would everyone commit suicide and get there ahead of time?
Right. Yeah.
God put an instinct in us to want to live.
Right.
But there comes a time when we realize that even though we want to live physically, we must be ready to die.
Amen.
No man's ever ready to live until he's ready to die.
Amen.
I mean, we work and toil and slave to live when we ought to be praying and reading and calling on God.
Amen.
To be ready to die.
Right.
Or die we will.
Right.
I mean, death's on our trail.
Right.
Somewhere, sometime, somebody.
Yeah.
We'll walk up to you and tell you a friend of yours has just died. Or a friend of yours will tell a friend of hers that you have.
Right.
I mean, we're going to die physically.
Right.
But Paul said, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I can't be handsome, but I can be ready.
Amen.
I can't be rich, but I can be ready.
Amen.
I can't be smart,
yeah,
but I can be ready.
Right.
Well, let me back up on that last statement. I tell you, it is not foolish to be saved.
Right.
Everybody that gets born again by the good grace of God has made the wisest move they ever will make.
Right.
To get born into the family of God. Oh, Paul said, I am now ready. I mean, if the call come right now, could you say, I'm ready?
Yeah.
He said, if they come and sharpen that axe real good right now, Timothy, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I can't prove it from the Scriptures. I wish I could. But I want to believe it in my heart. Somehow or another, I think a man of God like he was, when he went out there, I don't believe they had to wrestle him down.
No.
I believe he laid his head on that old block.
Yeah.
I somehow or another believe that God
yeah.
give him heavenly anesthetic.
Yeah.
I don't believe he felt it really
yeah.
when an axe took his head off.
Right.
Let me sidetrack just a minute. Thought come through my mind that I read some years ago, perhaps you've read the book, Tortured for Christ. I believe it's in that, and I know it is in the book of Fox's Christian Martyrs, where this man was put on the rack. That is, they stretched him to their death. Big, strong man working the ratchet, and he'd have pulled their head this way. Tied to their feet and pull that way, stretch them to death. And this dear man, his first name was John, I believe, was on the rack and they were pulling him. And those that were standing by looked at him and said, John, is there no pain? Are you not in misery? He said at first. But he said, now there's a gentle stranger
Amen.
By my side,
Amen.
Wiping my brow
yeah.
as they stretched him to death. Amen?
Yeah.
Oh, that crowd didn't see that stranger.
Ah,
but the man is being stretched, knew he is there. I do believe that God will not forsake his own
Amen.
In the hour of the crossing. He said, I'm ready to be offered.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Now notice these next words. And the time of my departure is at hand. He didn't say die. He didn't use the word death. Previously in his writings he did. He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He did say on one occasion, who shall deliver me from this death? In previous times he had mentioned the reality of death. But when now it's time to go, no mention is dying, no mention in of death, but he used a glorious word. He said, Timothy, the time of my departure is at hand. Hey, let me tell you something, in case you hadn't heard it anywhere else, if you hear sometime, somebody walk up to you and say, Reed Cooper's dead. Don't you believe it?
Amen.
I've already passed from death unto life.
Amen.
And when this old carcass falls and ceases to breathe and my heart ceases to pump,
yeah,
I'll not be dead.
Right.
For the same man that said my departure's at hand, yes, has said to be absent from the body,
amen,
is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
You know why we as Christians don't fear death? Because the extractor's done come by and jerked the sting out of death.
Amen.
And death to the same, yes, person is nothing but a change of territory. We're going to leave here and check in over you.
Amen.
That black preacher I listened to him some years ago over at Levy Hill. When his wife, he called her baby, died, he said, we was all there, he said, I went off into a room by myself. And I said, I got to talk to you, God. I don't know how to talk to you. You're a God and I'm a human. He said, but I want to know why you took baby. And he said, God said to me in that still, small way that he does, don't you minimize it by saying a still, small way if God ever speaks to you. You'll declare it thundered out of glory.
Amen.
And he said, God said I couldn't bring her in unless I took her out.
Huh?
Amen. I mean, as long as she is here, she wasn't going to be younger.
Right.
But when she left here, she arrived younger.
Amen.
Hey, that's not so bad when you think about it as a saved individual. It's just a transporting element.
Amen. Sure.
From here to there.
Amen.
The time of my departure is at hand.
Yes, yes.
He didn't say, Timothy, I'm going to die. He said, I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I've left a lot of places.
Yes, sir.
Been run off from more churches than most fellows of pastor. But hey, there's coming a day when I'm going to check out.
Amen.
Amen. And I can't check in on yonder. I'm going to check out that
evening.
If you ever stand by the bedside of a saint of God, watch them check out.
Right.
Oh, I have. Yeah. In essence or in the spirit, I've walked with them to the brink of the river. Wondered what they saw as they made the crossing. Finally hung my head because I couldn't go with them. I wanted to make the crossing too. There'll be a day, Paul said, when I'm going to check out. The time of my departure is at hand. That's his present status. Look here at his past record. He said, I fought a good fight.
Yeah.
I noticed this the other week when I was studying this again. But you notice there's not an S on that fight.
Right.
He didn't say, I fought good fights.
Right.
Matty said, I fought a good fight.
Right.
Yeah. We preachers are misleading.
Yeah.
We get sinners to thinking that if you'll just get saved, boy, everything's all right. Jesus is saving. Tiptoe through the tulips the rest of your way. I mean, every problem solved. Huh? How sad it is to learn not to get saved is not to do away with problems.
Right.
God don't save the problem. To get saved doesn't make you an instant millionaire.
Right. Amen. Amen.
To get saved doesn't mean everybody's going to pat you on the back.
Amen.
And love you
right.
Or your stand for God.
That's right.
Everybody ought to be a preacher. A little while, Brother Joel.
Sure.
I used to stand where I pastored at the back door and shake hands with them as they went out, and I got tired doing that. Some of them gritting their teeth. Some of them wanting to stomp the toes. And then they're in such a hurry, it's the dangerous place there is here. I mean, you don't want to be at the back door when the dismissing amen is saying. They'll trample you to death. If we're as eager to get in as we are to get out, we can transact more business while we're in. For the glory of God. And he said, I fought a good fight. It's been one all the way.
Yes, sir, it has.
Not fights. We've got an adversary, the devil.
Yeah. Right.
He doesn't know about round one, round two, round three,
right.
And an intermission in between.
Yeah.
He's on the job 24 hours a day.
That's right. You're right, preacher.
Never. Slacks up. And realize God has more power in him. I'm not bragging on the devil at all. That old thing he slept with is the power of suggestion. Don't sing that song to me, the devil made me do it. He can't make you do anything. But he can suggest all things to you. When the problem comes in, it's yielding to his suggestions.
That's right.
And he knows how to pretty them up.
Right.
Flash them real bright. Entice you with suggestion.
Right.
Of evil.
Right.
And he does so all the time.
Yeah.
To the same degree.
Amen. Sure, that's right.
I wouldn't say this about anywhere, but I know Brother Joel. He preaches to you, you can handle it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want you to know what goes through my mind.
That's right.
Sometimes while I'm preaching.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Huh?
That's right. I mean, when I come up here and get behind the pulpit, the devil don't go out the door.
That's right.
He'll stick around, and if he can, infiltrate my thinking.
Right.
So evil thoughts in my mind.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Even while we're ministering the Word of God.
That's right.
Paul said, but I'll give him a good one.
Amen.
I follow good. That's right. Some of us can look back and say we've been in law, but can we say we've fought a good fight?
That's right.
I get home to glory. Hold on the judgment seat of Christ. If by chance there's anything to be won, we won't win it there. There's no time appointed at the judgment seat of Christ to straighten things out. Make things right. Straighten up and do things then we would. wish we'd have done while we was here. The judgment seat of Christ will be judged for the time and our actions while here on planet Earth. No rewards earned or gained at the judgment seat for actions. Only past actions are rewarded. Paul referred to us as soldiers. And countries do not reward turncoats.
Amen. Amen.
Drat Rogers.
Right. Amen.
People that kicked out in battle.
Right.
There's no awards given.
Good preaching.
If I have anything at the judgment seat of Christ, I have to fight a good faith.
Right.
Fight a good warfare.
Right.
Do what I know's right down here.
Amen.
Lord, that gets big, don't it?
Sure.
We only have a short span of life.
Right.
Man, this born of woman's days is short and few and full of trouble.
Right.
Said the scripture. We don't have long to do.
Right.
But all of eternity will be affected by the short span that we lived here upon this earth.
Sure.
So what we got to do is just get on with it.
Right.
Paul said, I fought a good fight. I don't have time to go all bad news. I'd like to go right there. There's plenty of good fighting to be done in these days. I mean, somebody said, I don't know what to do. Just kick out the dust a little bit and jump in line. There's good fighting all along the front.
Amen.
Hey, and God don't have no strength fighters.
Right.
All of His warriors are on the front line.
Amen. That's right.
He said, I fought a good fight.
That's good.
Are you getting weary with me?
Yes.
Stay with me just a minute. He said, I've finished my course.
Amen.
What does he mean by that? I've done what is given to do.
That's good.
I've stayed in the race. Of course, he's going back to that scripture he used recently in other passages when he talked about running in a race.
Right.
We run in this race. We don't run to outrun one another.
Amen.
We're not competitors one with another.
Right.
We're laborers together.
Right.
With Him.
Amen.
In the work of the Lord.
Right. Preacher.
Well, I told some people some years ago, and I was preaching one of these here all night things, watch night service, whatever they call them. Stay awake if you can. That's what I'd call it. Several preachers to preach, and they got in this atmosphere trying to see who could out-preach the other. Competition.
Yeah.
One with another.
Yes, sir.
Hadn't come my time yet to preach. Feller got up after him. The feller preacher up for him, he said, you thought that was something, listen to this. I gathered up my family, my young'uns and little Lynn. I got my wife and my young'uns, and I slipped out the side door. When I come my time to preach, I wasn't there. Oh, what the thought? I hope the rapture took place, and they had missed it.
Yeah.
We're not competitors.
Amen.
We all run in the race.
Amen.
We're not pleasing one another.
Right.
But we keep our eye on Jesus, looking unto Him. The author and the finisher of our faith.
Yes, yes.
Right. He's the man with the plays. These stock car races, you racers, forgive me. Church I pastored in Marion, they didn't like me to get on that.
Yeah. Go ahead, brother.
But they start out with what? The green flag. And boy, they all got that engine revved up.
Yeah.
I mean, they roar around that track. In enthusiastically racing. In the process of time, during the race, there is a mishap. Comes out the yaller, the caution. Boy, remember when you first got saved? How eager you were to really serve God? I mean, somebody didn't have to get up and sing three verses of Amazing Grace. Just get up and say the first two words that put you in orbit. I mean, you're so gratifying to be on this way. Down the road. Some little mishaps. God had to bring out the hour. I've had to run under the caution a lot of times. If you're not careful, you'll make the mishap to be a bigger mishap than it started out to be.
That's right.
Trying to fix it on your own.
Right. That's good preaching.
Better got into some problems some years ago. And I said to him, trying to encourage him, I said, the Lord's going to help you with that. He said, I know it, but I'm going to have to help him. How are you going to help God?
Right.
He's already owner of everything there is to own.
Yeah.
He already knows everything there is to know.
Right.
Why are you going to tell him? He already has power to do anything he wants to, anytime he wants to, with anything he wants to, or anyone he wants to, without asking anybody or anything. Their permission or favor.
Amen.
To do?
Right.
Go ahead.
That's right.
I mean, he can make day before yesterday, day after tomorrow if he wants to.
Right.
And never disrupt the order of things.
Amen.
He can be everywhere at the same time.
Right.
And never have to change places to do so.
Yeah.
Amen. Right. How are you going to help him? We must realize we're feeble and helpless and hopeless, and we got to rely on Him. Along the way, sometimes under that caution, somebody does a no-no. And the black flag comes out. You know what that is? That's a disqualification. Don't mean they cease to be a racer. It simply means they can't race anymore in that particular race.
Right.
They got to come in. The black flag's on them. I've known some men of God that God shook the black flag in front of. Amen. Disqualified themselves. Oh, it's scary. Do you remember reading where the callings and the gifts of God are without repentance?
Right.
You know what that without repentance means? No withdrawal. Disqualified in the service, but the call's still on.
That's right.
I've had men to tell me I'm as miserable as can be. I know I'm saved. I know I was called to preach. But disqualified myself in the service.
That's right.
Can you imagine?
That's right.
Lord God, I can't sit down and listen to a man of God preach under the power of the Holy Ghost without hardly going home hoarse myself.
Yeah.
And God's still allowing me to preach.
Amen.
Can you imagine the horror of the knowing of the call of God upon a man, but knowing he is disqualified and could not do it. Oh, but Paul said, I've stayed clean.
Yes, he's right.
I've finished my course.
Right.
Hey. Is that beans I smell burning? Oh, he said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith.
That's right.
He sometimes passed living for God. I've kept the faith. You won't ask me to come back, but I got to finish.
Oh, go ahead and preach. Stay down.
the faith. Some people argue with the statement I'm about to make, but I stand by it. God said through Jude, the little book of Jude, that we're to earnestly contend for the faith, right? Once, not twice, not three times, but once delivered unto the saints. We talk about faith. Did you ever notice that Paul said in one place, the life I now live, I live by the faith, not in, but of,
right,
the Son of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus gave us of His faith.
Right. Right.
He does teach that we can increase our faith.
Yes.
We're to cultivate our faith. Believe more strongly than we ever have. So what if the world's going to the devil about us? Have faith in God.
Amen.
Believe Him.
Yes.
Paul said in the Hebrews, or at least I believe he wrote the Hebrews, he said, now faith is the substance. Substance?
Yep.
Not something that's out here.
Right.
Untangible.
Right.
But a substance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me a glass full of Pepsi. I like Pepsis. And that in that glass is the substance, Pepsi.
Right.
Faith is the substance, the possession, something we have.
Right.
And listen to what it is. It is the evidence of things not seen. I've never seen God, but they said He's there. I've never viewed the glory world, but they says it's there. I mean the glory of God. One day Jesus said, I want them to see it. They says it's there. Faith is the substance, the evidence of things not seen.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
And by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report.
That's right.
Oh, by faith they obtained a good report. That's precious, but I'm interested in who's giving the report. Somebody's keeping books.
Yes.
God looks at our faith and how we utilize faith in this Christian way.
Right.
I'll not say all I want to say. I ain't got outline, so don't ask me for it. I've kept the faith. But He said, look what's ahead. In closing, He said, henceforth. He started out, you remember why I said, why I talked to Timothy like he did, for the day of my departure is at hand. And he talked about he kept the faith and fought a good fight and all of this. Henceforth, that's talking about something yet to be.
Right. Amen.
Well, but one scripture said you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
Right.
Something coming along better. I mean, I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now.
Right.
I mean, you offer me the privilege to go back down in about 1962 when a transformation took place in my heart.
Yes.
Set me back on the other side of the track where I did live.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Right.
I wouldn't take nothing from my past experiences in God. If He never blesses me again,
right.
If He never touches me again, I thank Him for what He's done.
Amen.
And I wouldn't trade what's already been
Amen.
For
all the riches of this world.
Right.
But this is not the end.
Right.
Hey, when you walk down to the graveyard and they throw them cogs in and you turn around and walk away,
right,
we sorrow not as others that have no hope.
Amen.
Oh, this is not the end.
Amen.
Henceforth, he said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Who's going to give it? He said, which the Lord, the righteous judge. You notice how many times here lately they're turning convicts loose because they said there's misjudgment in their first sentencing. Let me tell you something. When we stand before the righteous judge, there'll never be a reversal. He's never made a mistake. There's no error in his bookkeeping.
Right.
By the way, I'm fixing to say what I said years ago, and some of the homeless crowd was following me around listening to me preach in the tent meetings. And I said, God's pencil does not have an eraser.
Amen.
Amen.
Why don't it? He don't ever need one.
Amen.
I got me a good paddling in school. Causing an eraser on my pencil. You see, I made 100 in spelling. And when it crossed the teacher's desk, she knew that couldn't be right. Sure enough, I had wrote the words down and then erased them, but I'd wrote them where I made pressure with the pencil and I could tell the letters. You see, she knowed I didn't make 100. In spelling of all things, but she did apply some knowledge to the seed of my learning,
yeah,
over copying. Oh, but Christ is the righteous judge.
Right.
His books are complete.
Amen.
His books are without error.
Right.
His rewards will be just and right,
right,
that he yields at that day. Paul said there's a crown of righteousness. The Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Now the best for last. But he said, Timothy, not unto me only shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing.
Huh?
We all can't be Paul. We all can't be Timothy's.
Right.
We all can't be Silas's.
Right.
Or John the Baptist.
Right.
We can be ourselves.
Amen.
And we all can love him.
Amen.
And love his appearing.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
What does that mean? It means that you esteem that greater than anything else. His appearing.
Precious lady said something to me and my wife a week or two ago, and it's been 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe longer than that, at church on Sunday night. I don't know politics. Don't you misunderstand me. I wouldn't know if I'm a Democrat or a Republican or a zebra or what else. I don't know politics. I don't like kids on dogs.
Amen.
But this lady stopped by and said to us something about the presidential situation. And she said, I think the Lord's going to come and deliver us from Hillary. I turned to my wife and I said, let's put her in right quick. If that's going to get the Lord to come. Amen.
Yeah.
Coming alive, his appearing.
Yeah.
Many years ago, we'd been to the old church and had a good service.
Yeah.
We rode with my dad and we was in his car and coming back over the road, and it was a real moonlit night. And my wife said, Lord, yonder's the Lord. Just, you know, looking through those trees, it had the appearance. Boy, you talking about the atmosphere in that car? Huh? I don't understand this outfit that predicts he'll be here Thursday.
Right.
And on Thursday, they all run over yonder and get in the cave.
Yeah.
And hide. I'm fixing to kill this meeting. According to my watch, it's 22 minutes after 12. You can guarantee me you've got inside information.
here at 12:25, we'll dismiss right quick. We'll go out there and stand and look eastwardly.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
You might not want to, but give me no room. I do.
Amen.
I mean, I can hardly wait.
Right. Amen.
He is a coming.
Sure. Right.
Yes, he is.
Somebody said in a meeting I was in South Carolina a few weeks ago that somebody just in the neighborhood of Mayo, South Carolina, had put up a sign that Billy Graham was a liar. For he said Jesus is coming and he hadn't come. They preached, and the Bible teaches that it was the last days when Jesus left.
Right.
Book of Hebrews starts out by telling us that he's spoken unto us in these last times by his son Jesus. They look for him to come back. He hadn't got back yet. Don't mean he ain't coming.
Right.
Same Bible tells me he is, tells me he can't lie.
Right.
I believe he's coming. I don't believe he can't lie. And if he can't lie, he told the truth when he said, I'll be back for you.
Amen.
I don't know when, but I do know he's coming.
Amen.
Faith in my heart has given me the evidence, the assurance that he is coming. Everyone that loves his appearing, crown of righteousness, shall be given. A glorious future that he's looking forward to. Amen. Let's stand together.
Amen.
Us old preachers, we don't preach long. It just takes us longer to say a little bit of stuff. You know. We don't get it all said like we used to.
That's good preaching.
But you ever stop to realize in heaven they ain't a clock?
Amen. That's right.
They ain't even a calendar.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
They ain't even no days.
Amen.
It's a day.
Amen.
Huh?
Yeah. Right.
They ain't even on a manger. The only argument I've got with Amazing Grace is that last verse. When we've been there 10,000 years, how we gonna know we've been there 10,000 years?
Right.
No measurement of time.
Amen.
Huh?
You're right. That's right.
We all ought to fast on Sunday and worship all day.
Yeah. Praise God.
We'd still die fat. Amen?
Yes, sir.
I don't know what the Lord said to you through the message today. I hope you've been helped.
Yes, sir.
Hope God's touched our hearts together. Help me to say it. And I'm encouraged. If you need to do anything this morning, the Holy Ghost is touching your heart. While the ladies sound on the instruments, you just obey the Lord. Time's soon going to be gone. The old cliche that's been said down through the years, only one life, it'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will be all that lasts. Not going to matter how much money we have at the end of the road, how much work we've done to help our fellow man. It's going to be how much we did for Christ, how we loved his appearing. Soon the day will come, we'll all be there. I'm so grateful that it's a reality. Our Father, I pray you'll take the message this morning, convey it to the heart that needs it most. Encourage us together and strengthen our innermost being that we can fight a better fight tomorrow than we did today. We'd run more honorably in the race tomorrow than we did today. We'd have more love in our heart for the time of your appearing in the on tomorrow than we did today. Lord, in Jesus' name, accept our thanksgiving. We all praise and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Brother Joel, you close service. Lord, shall lead you.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. You'll sing that first verse if you feel the need to come pray, whatever the Lord. Thank you.